Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. Well, today's message is centered around the words found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, where we read, "Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." There's something really strange about these words. It clearly says that Christ suffered for sins. Why? We all know that sin brings suffering and hardship, right? The evidence for this fact is all around us. It's a sad world. Sin brings suffering. But if a person never sinned, they would not deserve any judgment, right? So how is it that Christ, the only one who never sinned, is found suffering for sins? Can you figure that out? Was there some colossal mistake made in the death of Christ? In our broadcast today, speaker Dan Schutt will unravel this gospel mystery. We trust that his simple explanation of this glorious verse will help you to understand why it was that Christ ever died, and how you can be brought to God through that great work of substitution.
20 blessed gospel words, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." I'm going to read the verse again and quote it freely throughout my message. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. May God fix its truth on every heart tonight. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." People love puzzles. Whenever I'm in the airport, whenever I am waiting for public transportation, I notice that there are always folks working on crosswords. There are people doing Sudoku. There are people who are reading mystery novels. People love to solve great puzzles. I'd like to tell you tonight that this little text that we have read together contains one of the greatest puzzles that could ever confront the human mind. It is found in the opening words of this gospel verse that we have read. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin." I'm going to tell you that there are some things about this statement that are not a mystery. And the thing that is not a mystery about this verse is this: that sin and suffering are always connected. I would have loved to have been in this world before sin came. My wife and I are gardeners. Must have been a beautiful thing to be in the garden that God planted. My wife and I like birds and wildlife, and must have been a wonderful thing to see the creation that God had implemented in all its beauty for the enjoyment of Adam and Eve. But I want to tell you that that picture was terribly spoiled by disobedience to God. That is the great definition for sin. Sin is disobeying God. The problem is that sin has brought tragedy and ruin. Sin has brought suffering into our hearts, and sin has brought suffering into our world. Did you ever stop to think of what the world was like without sin? Before sin, there were no angry words. There were no bitter tears. There were no sleepless nights. There were no tragic disappointments. Before sin, there was no cancer, no heart attack, no kidney stones, no sin, beautiful place. Before sin, there were no prisons. There were no drug rehab centers. There were no broken homes. Before sin, there were no hospitals, no mental institutions, no cemeteries, no funeral homes. My dear friend, tonight, let me tell you that sin has brought suffering into our world. I want to tell you something very solemn before I go on. That whatever you have experienced in this life of suffering or disappointment or sorrow or trials, if you, listen carefully, if you die in your sins, there is eternal suffering that lies ahead. We live in a world that does not like to face the reality of a holy God. We live in a world that does not like to confront the idea that God somehow will someday punish sin. We would rather forget about the reality that Jesus Christ himself taught, that there is a place called hell, a real place, and a place called the lake of fire. Man was preaching in the open air one day. I learned to preach the gospel in the open air. Wish we had more opportunity to do it still. I really love it. It's a great thing to do. A man was preaching along, and a young man decided to interrupt his message, and he shouted out, "Sir, can you tell me where hell is?" Well, if you've ever preached in the open air, you know that hecklers are inevitable, and the best thing to do, at least on the first go-round, is just to ignore them. So the man kept preaching. But the young man was to be undeterred, and he shouted out again, "Sir, can you tell me where is hell?" And the man preached a little further. Emboldened by that, the young man shouted out one more time. He said, "Sir, I have asked you a question that you cannot answer. Where is hell?" The man stopped. He said, "Young man, I can answer that question. Hell lies at the end of every Christless life." I would love to come and tell you that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And by the way, God does love you. And if you receive his son, there is a plan for your life that you cannot imagine now in your sins. But I want to tell you that the reality of the gospel message exists against the black backdrop of our sin. Sin is a terrible, ruinous thing that brings destruction and suffering in this world. And it brings destruction and suffering in the world to come. This may not be the most comfortable preaching you've ever listened to. It is obligatory that we warn you that your sin, unforgiven, will produce for you eternal suffering. The great mystery of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 is this, that Christ also hath once suffered for sins. You see, you and I can, if we allow God to teach us, can understand that there must be a connection between disobedience and punishment. We can, even from what we learned in our families, from our parents, if they were faithful to us. We understand intuitively that sin and suffering are connected. My friend, is there one person in this meeting that can understand how a sinless man, the Lord Jesus Christ, should ever suffer for sin? I want to tell you tonight, there was never a man like Jesus Christ. Throughout his life, so sorely tempted, under the microscope of Satan, in the view of people who sought to somehow betray him and to compromise him, to discover some deficiency in him. There was a man who walked through this world who was totally without sin. When he came to the end of his life, he said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" The answer was a deafening silence. He said, "The prince of this world cometh and findeth nothing in me." The devil didn't disagree with him. The disciples who know him best said he did no sin. They said he knew no sin. They said in him was no sin. Mrs. Pilate said to her husband, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man?" Mr. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Thank God there was a thief that hung beside him on the cross. And this is what he said. "We indeed justly. What we're experiencing is right. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." Listen to these glorious words. I think God has just covered them with gold and put them in heaven's museum. "This man hath done nothing amiss."
And there was a centurion with his soldiers.
And when he saw the earthquake, and when he saw the darkness, and when he heard the terrible cries of Calvary, this is what he said. Surely, this was a righteous man. And my friend, it has come time for you tonight in this meeting to engage this great mystery for yourself. If sin brings suffering, and it does, and Jesus Christ is utterly sinless, and he is, then what is it? What is the mystery? What is the puzzle? What is the great enigma that lies before us? Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Something that I particularly love about the Word of God, and it's this. The Bible explains its own questions. Did you know that? A lot of folks, you know, they get all hung up in Bible problems and Bible contradictions, as they call them. And, you know, the solution to all their problems is to read the Bible itself. Because God delights to answer the questions that arise when we confront the truth of His Word. Sometimes you have to read a few chapters. Sometimes even you have to read a few books. But one of the reasons that I am going to preach, that I am preaching from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, is that the answer to the greatest mystery in all the world, why Christ, the sinless one, should suffer for sins, is found in the next clause. Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Listen to this, dear friend. Let this sink down into your soul. The just one for the unjust. And if I have told you about a great mystery, I want to tell you tonight about a great exchange. When I was a little boy, my family temporarily lived in the state of Minnesota for a few weeks, and my parents enrolled me, I think it was in third grade, just for a few weeks in a new school. One of the little treasures that I had brought with me from Michigan to kind of soothe my homesickness was a little box of lead soldiers. I know that doesn't sound very healthy, but in those days we didn't know any better. And somewhere along the line, I think from my grandparents, I had inherited this little box of lead soldiers. And they were very, very handsome. They were nicely painted. They were very heavy. And they were something that I just really loved. I didn't have much, but I had my lead soldiers. And so in this new school, I made some new friends, and feeling very alone and very insecure one day, I brought my little lead soldiers to school to show my new buddies just what kind of treasures I had. And to my great amazement, one of those boys reached into his pocket and he pulled out something I'd never seen before. It was a brightly colored set of cowboys. And I tell you, those cowboys looked so great. And you know, as we stood there on the playground that day and my old lead soldiers over here, and this boy with those beautiful, colorful, new little figurines. You all know where this story's going before it ever gets there. We made a trade. But that night, when I got home to the little hotel room that we were living in, the light began to dawn on my little pea brain. I had traded something of real value for some cheap junk. The exchange was made, but I had lost. I had traded something of true value. The other boy made out all right, I'm sure. He's probably sold them on eBay. What did I have? I ended up with nothing. Before I tell you more about 1 Peter chapter 3 and 18, I want to warn you about something else. This world is filled tonight with people. May God preserve you from being one of them. Who are trading the most valuable thing in the universe for absolute garbage. Let me quote for you the words of Jesus Christ. If my words don't mean much to you, the words of Jesus Christ ought to. And this is what he said. For what is a person advantaged if they gain the whole world and lose their own souls? Or what shall a person give in exchange for their soul? Was the Lord Jesus just talking hypothetically? The Lord Jesus was looking into the faces of people who are trading their souls for a little momentary pleasure. Anybody here like that? Trading their eternal blessing for a few trinkets in this world. Trading heaven and everlasting life for stuff that wouldn't last past the funeral.
And I'm going to speak very tenderly right now. I preach the gospel all across North America. It's a great privilege that God has given to us, and we feel very unworthy of it. But I want to tell you that my heart is burdened as I see men and women over the years, and they come and they listen to the gospel. And yet they go out of gospel meetings and they find things that are more valuable than Christ. And they trade their eternal soul for something that will perish right alongside them. Oh, dear friend, tonight, may God the Holy Spirit speak to you in your seat. We're not salesmen here tonight to try and persuade you to buy a product. We are people who have come because we love you and because we love the Lord Jesus. We do not want you to trade your eternal well-being for the little trinkets of life that will soon be passed. But I want to tell you about the great exchange of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. I didn't come here to be smart. I just came here to be simple. Because the great mystery of the cross is solved by this. Jesus Christ was not suffering for his sins. He was suffering for mine. I'm going to tell you that throughout eternity, I am going to worship God for the wisdom of the cross. Because only God in his infinite wisdom could ever conceive of such a marvelous thing. The cross and the great exchange, that the just should die for the unjust, that he might bring me to God. There's a great story that Chuck Swindoll tells about a man named Charlie Steinmetz who used to know Henry Ford. Mr. Steinmetz had invented some motors and things that Henry Ford was using back in Detroit in his factories. And one day, one of those motors quit. Henry Ford sent a telegram to Charlie Steinmetz and he said, Charlie, come at once. One of my motors quit and I need you to fix it. So Charlie Steinmetz got on a train and came to Detroit. He tinkered around with the motor for a couple of minutes. All of a sudden, the motor sprang to life and Charlie Steinmetz got on the train and went back to his house. A few days later, Henry Ford received a bill in the mail from Charlie Steinmetz. Dear Mr. Ford, for repairing your electric motor, $10,000. Henry Ford sent him back a telegram. It said, Charlie, you just came and tinkered around with my motor for a few minutes. Don't you think $10,000 is a little steep? Charlie Steinmetz sent him another bill. It said this, for tinkering around with your motor, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. And I just tell that little story in the middle of a gospel meeting just to wake you up a little bit, make you think. The great wonder of God's grace lies in this. God knew exactly what we needed, and he supplied it in the cross and in the person of his son. I never deserved to be the object of God's thoughts, not for one moment. When I think of the loveliness of Jesus Christ and the wretchedness of my own heart, there is no way that God should have ever given his son for me. And yet, in wondrous grace, God saw my need. He saw the future of suffering that would extend for eternity if my sins were unforgiven. And so God, in his wondrous wisdom and grace, did the one thing that could solve the problem in its entirety. He sent his son to suffer in my place. He died for me. About 100 years after the Lord Jesus died, there was a man named Diognetus who wrote about the cross. And I love what he wrote. He wrote, God gave his own son as a ransom for us, the holy one for transgressors, the blameless one for the wicked, the righteous one for the unrighteous. Oh, sweet exchange. If I ever write a book about the cross, that's what I'm going to call it. Oh, sweet exchange. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I'm so thankful that there was a man who died for me. I want to tell you that when I preach the gospel, I preach as a grateful man. I look into God's word and I discover what the outcome of my life and my sin and my disobedience should have been. But I discover that there was a man who died in my place. I'm trusting him tonight.
I have committed the eternal well-being of my soul
into the hands of the man who died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring me to God. You ever had an experience like that?
Has that recognition ever dawned in your soul? What is the cross about? What is the mystery of Calvary involved? Oh, dear friend, that there might be someone in our meeting tonight that would make this glorious discovery. He died for me. He took my place. He bore my sin in his own body on the tree. And I love the words of the hymn writer, because the sinless Savior died. My sinful soul, oh sweet exchange, is counted free. God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. The great mystery, Christ suffered for sin. The great exchange, the just dying for the unjust. Let me tell you about one more thing. I want to tell you about the great welcome. That he might bring us to God. I have to tell you, if there's a mystery at the beginning of the verse, there's a mystery at the end of the verse too. The fact that you and I can be brought to God, how can it be? It is simply this, that in the death of Christ, there was a satisfaction that was fully made to the heart of God, so that tonight he welcomes sinners who trust in his Son. You know, there's a lovely story about Abraham Lincoln. I know I'm up in Canada, but I'm going to tell you the story. Many of you know that he's a great hero for those of us who are Americans, president during the great Civil War 150 years ago. One day on a rainy March afternoon in 1865, he stood on the east steps of the White House and gave his second inaugural speech. And in front of him was a deeply divided and a badly bloodied nation. His inaugural speech that blustery day was only about 700 words long. And most of the Americans, at least, will remember the most significant words, the famous last paragraph that Abraham Lincoln spoke as he moved to be the great reconciler. He spoke of malice toward none and charity toward all. In the audience that day, listening to Abraham Lincoln speak those great reconciling words of love, was a man named John Wilkes Booth, who just in a few short days would take a pistol and end the life of the 16th President of the United States. And the great reconciliation with malice toward none and love toward all was sealed with drops of precious blood. I want to tell you tonight that there is a loving welcome from the God of heaven. Jesus Christ stands as the unseen guest in this meeting, and he is saying, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And that welcome, and that invitation,
is based on this, the precious blood of Christ. I hope tonight that God will do what I cannot do, and that is take up these wonderful words, the words that mean so much to so many. Christ also hath once suffered for sins,
the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God.
Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was the only sinless person to live on this earth. And yet, he bore the entire penalty of sin so that he could make that blessed exchange for us, the just for the unjust. What a gracious transaction took place on the cross. But it was only for a certain kind of people, unjust ones. So where does that leave you? Have you ever approached the cross and taken the place of the unjust? Or are you still indifferent to the person and work of the Son of God? Remember, the gospel is only good news for those who admit that they have need of a Savior. Is it good news for you? If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at anchorpointradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by believers in Christ who are meeting at various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday as well as other meetings such as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. If you've been challenged by today's message and would like to know more about the truth of the gospel or of gathering unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ following New Testament principles, take a look at our Anchor Point website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gathering center nearest you. My name is Glenn Todd. Thank you once again for listening, and we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that Christ alone is the anchor for the soul.